Soul Recovery is not just this podcast. It is a community. And each month on the first Monday, we get together on Zoom to support each other. I give a topic, then we break into small groups. It's a powerful way to be seen and witnessed and heard and supported through your own soul recovery journey. This is free to attend and open to everyone. Go to the website to register. The next one is May 6th from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, in June on the 8th and 9th is an in-person soul recovery retreat in Lafayette, Colorado. This is going to be a weekend of incredible transformation, learning how to use soul recovery in your life and to leave that weekend transformed. Visit the website for more about what to expect and how to register. Enjoy the episode. Have you ever been sitting around with friends and family and talked about a memory and you all see it differently? You each had a little bit different take, or maybe a really different take, about how that looked and felt to each of you. We each filter our lives through our past experiences and our beliefs and our patterns. In soul recovery, we're learning that we can actually transform the way that we see it, transforming it into a healthier way of being. In this episode, we're going to talk about how you can use soul recovery to take your power back and be able to choose how you see what's happening in your life. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Recover Your Soul podcast, a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. My name is Reverend Rachel Harrison. I started Recover Your Soul after having profound changes in my life from my recovery of alcoholism, codependency, and control addiction. I was guided to share the tools and principles of spirituality and soul recovery to help others transform their lives as mine was transformed. For us to overcome external circumstances, we need to turn the attention to ourselves, focusing on our inner change and healing. Positive results in our lives will follow. Welcome to Soul Recovery. I'm Rev Rachel, and I thank you for choosing to spend your time with me here today. Maybe you're new to soul recovery. Maybe you just found this podcast and you're looking for some healing, some awareness, some strength around something that's happening in your life that might be difficult. Maybe you have someone in your life who's an addict. Maybe you have codependency issues and you're learning how to really take care of yourself. You're not here by accident. You have been brought here by what I believe is something even greater still, to help you take your power back, to help you be able to choose your feelings, your life, your way of reacting and responding, and learning to let go of giving that power away to other people, that if they are okay, that we can be okay, that we only feel love for ourselves if somebody else is loving us, that we're learning how to remember our wholeness, remember the truth of who we are, to live from this spiritually grounded, centered self. You know, I was raised Buddhist, and so I've been in this spiritual journey for a long time. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that I had a kind of traumatic experience when I was a young girl around Christianity. My grandmother, who through her loving heart as a devout fundamentalist Christian, felt really scared about the way that my parents were raising me as hippies in New Mexico. And so when I was 8 years old, my mom went to India to go study with her Buddhist teacher. And I spent a month at my dad's house finishing school. And then I spent a month with this grandmother. And then I spent a month with my mother's mother in this whole summer that my mom was gone. And I showed up at my grandma's house having just been with her son, my dad, probably straggly and dirty and, you know, talk about hippies, and staying with my dad, who was such a wonderful person, but wasn't, you know, trying to be straight and narrow about what was going on with me. So I probably looked a little rugged when I first got off the airplane. And one of the things that I had was that I had these red prayer cords around my neck that were probably old and worn out and kind of scraggly. And now that I have some distance, some awareness of what that probably looked like, I can have a lot of compassion for her, that 8-year-old probably looked like she wasn't being cared for in the way that she envisioned that I would be cared for. And her first real fear was that I wasn't being given
the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that her belief was that if I didn't take Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I was going to go to hell. And this is what is believed by a lot of people. This is a lot of the fear that people have around spirituality, and that it either makes people move more towards that, to do whatever it takes to not have those kinds of feelings, to not go to hell, to follow the rules, to do that kind of stuff. Or it did what it did for me, which was I followed the rules for that month. I did everything that she told me to do. I loved my grandmother. You know, I was aware at that age the importance of being good and just following the rules. I didn't do anything other than what she asked me to. I did Bible study with her. I hung out. I remember her friend that lived next door had a little painting studio that she would have like these, oh, they were like pre-made cast things. Maybe like, I remember unicorns and horses, and that you could paint them and then she would fire them. Anyway, I remembered that was my favorite thing, was going over to her house and painting and doing something creative. But I did everything my grandmother asked. And at the end of this time with her, where she had cut my prayer cords off, given me Bible study, I went in front of her entire church and gave myself to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because that's what she was asking me to do. But inside, that didn't feel right to me. Inside, that was really scary and really terrifying. Inside, it made me not think that Christianity was safe or loving or kind, that I had been raised as a Buddhist and it was all about love and openness, and there was colors and chanting and sounds and smells that to me felt comfortable, that felt like home. Now, each of us has these memories and these ways of experiencing what it feels like when we're young in terms of what we're given for the tools for spirituality and religion. And they're all over the board. They're all over the board around what felt good, what didn't feel good. Is it about love? Is it around power? Is it mysticism? Some people weren't raised with anything. What we're learning in soul recovery is we're learning that spirituality, for me, this is a spiritual path to a happy and healthy life. But what spirituality is for you is uniquely yours. That this transformation that we're talking about, that is soul recovery, is around your opening up to the truth that is right and real for you. That there is something greater still, some higher power, some force, some something that is truth around love and compassion and acceptance. And that we're learning to connect to that for whatever that is for you. Now that I've had 53 years of my life and 40 something years since I went and had this experience with my grandmother, I can see above what I felt, and I can see above the harm that actually it provided for me. But what I now can also appreciate is that it didn't intend to be harm. So often when we're trying to help other people, when we're trying to bring something that feels good to us, to somebody else, it's actually harming them. And this is the complexity of the human beings, the human experience, the human condition, is that what really works for me, what feels really connecting and good to me, may not be what feels really good and really connecting to the next person.
If you're ready for soul recovery, as a spiritual coach, I can support your healing to help make real changes that will bring you a life of peace, happiness, connection, and abundance. You can also work in smaller groups by taking a deep dive in a Zoom workshop or with me in person at a retreat or an event. Join others on the Soul Recovery Path once a month for the free Zoom support group or daily on the private Facebook page. Visit the website recoveryoursoul.net to book coaching sessions with me or find all the information you need about soul recovery, dates that are coming up, and how to register for those groups and workshops. To support the podcast and the community, check the links in the show notes to make a small monthly donation or a one-time donation of your choice that will make a huge impact to support this community and the soul recovery mission. Together, we can do the work that will recover your soul. So part of what we're learning is to be able to release our detachment around having other people believe and think and feel what we think and feel and believe. And yet, the important part in this spiritual journey that has provided this incredible transformation is that what we think and feel and believe is what our life is. The true power of our thoughts and our beliefs. That if you think and feel and believe that your life is crappy, that you'll never have any money, that you're never going to get your way, that it's always going to be hard. Your life is going to always be hard, and you will never feel the love that you're searching for. But if you think and feel and believe that it's working out for you, that you have the strength to handle what comes, you think and feel and believe that life is beautiful, then you have the ability to move into that and have that be true. So what we're learning in soul recovery is around transformation of our thoughts, the power of our thoughts, that what we think and feel and believe is the life that we create for ourselves, and that we can change our perception around what we think and feel and believe. Now, going back to the example of my grandmother, my perception as a 8-year-old girl, which I've done the soul recovery work of going in and not judging on either side, positive or negative, what was going on for my grandmother, and just feeling the feelings of this 8-year-old that showed up and dealt with that situation and how scary it was, how confusing it was. I've worked on that part of myself because that's a very important piece of us doing our soul recovery, is about truly recognizing these younger pieces of ourselves and how that set up systems for ourselves. But if I think about my perception for the many, 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 many years after that, probably until, probably like 10 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, when I could even hear the word God and not cringe, that perception was so caught up in being angry at my grandmother. I never connected with her, feeling safe in her living years. She wrote me letters around, you made this promise. Don't forget that you promised yourself to Jesus. If you don't do that, you're going to go to hell. What I perceived in those years was fear and righteousness and aggression, even though that wasn't what she was trying to offer me. So this offering of looking at how we perceive it. And in those years, it really felt like that. I really hated getting those letters from her because I didn't want to open it and read what she had to say. And then I never knew what to write back because what she was so caught up in was I finally going to be following the teachings of Jesus? My hope is that she's dancing in the heavens right now, that I'm on a spiritual path of my understanding. It definitely does not look like, even remotely, not even a tiny bit, what she probably would have preferred. But my belief is that once you've made your transition, all of this humanness of our attachment falls away and it's all about love anyway. And so she can feel the truth that I am connected to that part of the oneness of the source of it all. So it looks like it looks like to me. But about 10 or 15 years ago, when I was going to the Unity Church that I attended for so long, and they used the word God, and I had
been in recovery one time and had heard the 12 steps and started really wrapping my head around this concept of God, not hearing it from my grandmother's perspective, but hearing it from a different perspective, from a perspective of my choice. And I'll never forget in the 12 steps, one of the rooms, that somebody said, I just put another O in there and I made it from God to good, you know? And I thought, God, that's fabulous. That's so smart, because there's so much energy tied up in this term. And what I could do in that moment was every time I heard God, I didn't hear my grandmother being afraid for me, trying to push something into me. What I heard was good, love, acceptance, kindness, compassion, grace, gentleness. And just that little switch those 15 years ago allowed me to start to open up and change my perception in a way that has transformed my life greatly, because I was so closed about not wanting to be pushed into something because my grandmother had pushed that into me, and the rejection that I had around that, the protection I had for myself of like not being told what to do. Ooh, I just had the realization that this probably has a big piece of why I can be so rigid and sometimes so stubborn around people telling me what to do. Wow, I hadn't seen that before. It probably has a tie to this 8-year-old self that I knew that I couldn't make that choice for myself, but I did. And ever since then, I have a piece of me that like, I don't want someone to tell me what to think or feel or believe. I want to do it for myself, even if some of those times I'm actually being closed-minded and rigid. Wow, that's a great aha moment that I just had. I'm going to have to process that a little bit more. Thank you for letting me have that right here. So I've had this rigidity that, you know, when Rich and I first started dating, I was smoking cigarettes. And he said right off the bat, you know, like the cigarette smoking thing is a deal breaker for me. And I had planned on quitting pretty soon anyway. First of all, it was getting to be really expensive, which is a complete joke because it's really expensive now to smoke cigarettes. But it was getting expensive. I was just about to buy a house and start a in-home daycare center. And so I knew that I wasn't desiring to smoke in my house or around kids. So I knew that I was going to quit smoking. But as soon as he said, this is a deal breaker for me and I want you to quit. And I said, let me just tell you something about me. I don't need or want anybody to tell me what to think or feel or believe or do. And so I'm planning on quitting, but don't say anything. Just let me do it on my own terms. And indeed, within a month, I'd had a pretty intense experience around recognizing other people being addicts of other things and sort of seeing people going off the rails and being afraid of not having any drugs left, to be honest, at this big party, and saw myself sitting there chain smoking cigarettes and thought, wow, Rachel, you're exactly the same. And those were my last cigarettes that I ever smoked. But even then, you know, I knew this part around needing to make my own decision. Okay, coming all the way back to perception. When we get rigid, then we can lose sight of what's to learn, what is to grow, what is to expand. And that changing God to good opened me up in a way where I could let go of that intense attachment I had that was protecting me from that intense feeling that I had when I was a little girl. It allowed me to start to change the way that I heard everything. So instead of making a judgment every time I heard something that felt religious, feeling it from that old perspective, what I felt it from was this new part of me that was curious and was interested in what there could be on the other side, that really wanted to be healed, that really wanted to feel something around true recovery of my soul. That's where soul recovery came from when I started having these experiences 5 and a half, almost 6 years ago, that I deeply wanted to be letting go of all of that old pain. And to do that, it meant that I had to let go of these rigid protectors, these rigid structures that I had set up, so that then I started to hear messages. Even at the spiritual center that I'd attended for a long time, it didn't have this protection behind it. It had a new way of opening up to what I think and feel and believe. Can I see it differently? Can I change my perception just a little bit and not have this guard up? And what's interesting is now that I've had more and more and more practice with this, and I'm even more and more interested in learning, I find that I'm very interested in hearing some traditional Christian concepts, hearing them from my perspective, allowing it to filter through me and this open heart instead of somebody else's doctrine. And it's provided me a lot of really amazing insights. And the more that I read and open up to spirituality and I'm constantly listening to or reading something, I'm feeling this immense amount of love and appreciation for how there's so many connectors that are the same, that come from so many outside sources, that if you take the noise away of power and attachment and people trying to push their way of thinking, and you just see it more cleanly from this open space of, show me what I'm to learn here. Help me understand how this relates to me. Help me to feel love and compassion for myself and others. There's so much that connects in and says so many of the same things. And it's all around love and good and kind and acceptance and compassion. This concept of transforming our lives through the way that we think and feel and believe opens up to this concept, which is, you know, the spiritual concept, but you take this and then you expand it out into everything. And you start to look at, where do I have rigid beliefs that came from protections for myself? And of course they did. Of course, this 8-year-old had this reaction. Can I let go of coming from that 8-year-old self and step into my fully resourced adult self? And can I look at that in different areas? Can I look at that in my relationships? Can I look at that in how I relate to coworkers, or how I relate to where I fit into the world, or what my role is in terms of helping or fixing people? And you start to realize that all of this tightly wound, I think of it as yarn, you know, like we're just strung up with all these different yarns, and we're so constricted in what we think and feel and believe because it's got so many other people's stuff in it. And we start unwinding the other people's stuff. And we start just winding our own spool and turning the attention to ourself and recognizing these younger parts of ourself, choosing to see and feel it in a way that is more authentic to who we are, choosing to see our lives as wonderful, as whole, to feel ourselves as wonderful and whole and full, to notice just the little things in life that are so miraculous and beautiful, to start to see the miracles in everything, and to let go of the sticky hook of these beliefs and these thoughts and these perceptions that aren't ours, or that don't serve us any longer, or that are tied to old ways of being, old protections. truly coming from the belief that our lives are what we think and feel and believe they are, and standing in that strength and beginning to choose a new way, beginning to see that we are being held and loved and guided by something even greater still, and that that is for you to connect and figure out with. It is not for anyone to tell you what that looks like or feels like, but for you to embrace what that is and trust it. Trust the guidance from that inner self and choose what you think and feel and believe, and notice how that transforms everything. So now I look at my grandmother with just kindness and love and no resentment and no heavy heart. I have a little sadness that I couldn't have had this perspective when she was alive. I wish that we could have had a better relationship. But I have gratitude for the fact that this experience that I had with her was important in my evolution of myself. And her belief was so strong, and that was the foundation of who she was. And it is not mine to judge that what she thought wasn't okay, because for her, it absolutely was who she was. And my belief is this good, this spiritual essence, is open to all of it. And that when we step away from what can be sometimes damaging teachings, and we just feel the true essence of the purity of the love that's being offered, and the healing and the guidance and the light and the love, that it doesn't matter what language it's spoken to you in, what way it comes to you, that each of us can feel it and know it in our own ways, and accepting each person's belief for what it was. So for her, it was perfect for her. And for me, this has been perfect for me. And that is what I have so much gratitude for. Your life is what you think and feel and believe it is. That's the transformation. Until next time, namaste.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Recover Your Soul podcast and being part of this amazing and growing community. If you loved this episode and you want even more, there is a bonus episode with even more content every Friday. This is by subscription. You can access that by being a Patreon member, and there's 3 tiers of giving of your choice, or an Apple Podcast subscriber. Once you have subscribed, you have access to a whole back catalog of episodes as well. If you would go to the website, recoveryoursoul.net, and I would love for you to subscribe to email updates so that you can keep posted with everything that's going on, different events, what dates are coming up, any reminders. There's only a couple emails each month. I hope you follow Recover Your Soul on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, the private Facebook community page, TikTok, and if you want guided meditations, look for Reverend Rachel Harrison on Insight Timer. I really encourage you to take advantage of the one-on-one coaching. This is a unique, intuitive connection between the two of us. There are 9 steps to soul recovery, and I do use those 9 steps to loosely guide us through whatever your coaching that you need. But really, it's about creating a way for you to feel comfortable around your healing of your past, looking at the situations in your life. What are the patterns? What are the beliefs that are holding you back? Breaking free from those patterns, breaking free from those beliefs, letting go of control, letting go of the people around you, and taking your power back, discovering who you are and who you want to be in the world and how I can support you to do this. And also, you're sharing this podcast with your friends, putting 5 stars, leaving reviews, really sharing this with others is growing the community. Thank you for being part of this community. Thank you for supporting Recover Your Soul. And I know that together we can do the work that will recover your soul. The Recover Your Soul podcast and its content is for educational purposes only and is not allied or representative of any organizations or religions. It's based on the opinions and experience of Reverend Rachel Harrison. Recover Your Soul claims no responsibility to any persons or entity for any liability, loss, damage, or cause alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of its use. Applications or interpretations of the information represented herein. Take what you need and leave the rest.